But we have a very special show today.
It's already busy here in the station.
It is. And as I mentioned yesterday, we are going to focus on the Catholic Sentinel newspaper today. Today, their last edition comes out, and we are going to have Sentinel staff in the studio today, led by their managing editor, Ed Longlaw. They're going to join us all morning long. So all four of our interview segments between 7 and 9 this morning going to focus on the Catholic Sentinel. Well, it really is an amazing legacy. For 152 years, the Catholic Sentinel newspaper has been providing readers throughout the Archdiocese of Portland and beyond news and information about their Catholic faith. First edition of the Catholic Sentinel published all the way back on February 5th, 1870, and sadly, the last edition on September 30th, 2022. This morning, to recognize and celebrate this legacy, the Morning Blend will dedicate all its interview segments to the Sentinel. And to help us do that, we are grateful to have our good friend in studio with us. He is the hardworking and talented managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper. In fact, let's bring him in this way.
Extra, extra, hot off the presses. It's Scoop Ed Longlaw with the Catholic Sentinel.
Ah, I just love hearing that. Ed, good morning to you. And in just a moment, we'll let you introduce your Sentinel staff that is so gracious to be with us this morning. But before you do the intro, I just wanted to ask you what it was like to put this final edition together, knowing that it was the end of that 152-year legacy.
Well, David, I've been talking to the spirits of editors of the past and apologizing to them that we couldn't keep this going. So there's been a lot of sadness in my heart about that. At the same time, David, this is the first time in 32 years I haven't had a newspaper deadline hanging over my head.
There you go. See, that's,
so that actually feels kind of good. And, you know, I think we all have had to adjust our hearts to move toward the future on this. Yeah. But what really breaks our hearts is everything we've heard from our readers of both El Centinela and the Catholic Sentinel about what our papers meant to them. And we'll talk about that later, but that's what weighed most heavily on my heart as we printed the end of both issues.
Sure. No, I certainly understand that, you know, and I love your sense of humor as always. And I just want to read on the front page of the last edition. It says right at the top, banner headline, Godspeed, which we can talk about that in a little bit. But your opening paragraph, this is great. So here it is. At Mass last week, I spied a young girl roll up a copy of the Catholic Sentinel and thwack her tiresome little brother on the head. As we conclude our 152-year run, it's gratifying to see young people making use of our newspaper to further the cause of justice. That's great open.
True story. I didn't even make that one up.
That's wonderful. Well, I think about that, but I also think about all those churchgoers, parishioners walking through the door and seeing that Sentinel sitting in the rack at the back of their church in the vestibule and picking that up and taking it home with them and getting a chance to read all of the wonderful stories that have been written over the 152 years. You were the editor for how long?
I started in 2016, David, but I started as a reporter in 1993. And so it's been almost 3 decades of this.
Wow, that is just amazing. We'll introduce your staff that you have with us this morning.
With us this morning is Patricia Montana, the editor of El Centinela, and also Kristen Hannum, the news editor of Catholic Sentinel and a Sentinel veteran. She began even before I did, took a little break, but then returned.
Yeah,
and we should note that El Centinela began in 1995 and noted its own 25th anniversary a couple of years ago and has become such an important voice for our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters.
Yeah, let me ask you, Patricia, about that. The work you've done in the outreach to the Hispanic community, the Latino community here in the Portland Archdiocese, I'm sure you're going to miss that.
Of course. I think that El Centinela has been playing an essential role as the only voice for our community. And it's all over the state. So I think the most, it breaks my heart and I'm emotional because what I heard all the time was, it was the place where we encounter together, where we encounter God. And I am an immigrant here, and we feel like we belong together to a community. We are so isolated and separated. So I feel like one of my parishioners. I am so sorry that I am emotional, but this is very deep in my heart, and that's what I heard all the time. People calling me from churches around the state of Oregon, lamenting, and they were very sad. I heard priests, I heard coordinator of the Hispanic minister, the ones that from churches who they have it, but most of the time was parishioners. Mm. Yeah.
Well, no, we certainly understand that emotion and the outreach that you've provided over the years, and certainly know that it means a lot to you and in your heart as well. So really appreciate you sharing that and sharing your feelings on that. And Kristen, for you, as Ed said, you outdate Ed, actually, at being at the Sentinel. And I've got to believe, too, you've had a lot of wonderful stories in the paper over the course of the year. So, you know, what the paper has meant to you?
You know, the paper for me is family. And that's with our El Centinela and Sentinel co-workers, with Oregon Catholic Press. The offices used to be at Oregon Catholic Press, and we would hear music down the hall where they were trying out testing new hymns that they would print. It's family and the readers, of course, too.
No, absolutely. And I think about over the course of the 152 years, how the course of reporting has changed. And how has it changed, Ed? When you think about that, you think about the history of the paper, and how has it changed over the course of, you know, a century?
Well, when it began in 1870, David, it was really the voice of the Irish Catholic immigrants, and could have been called the Irish Sentinel. So you get long stories about what was happening in Ireland. Not a lot of local news. But then we had this Oregon school bill that happened in 1920, 25, that time span, and people started to pay attention to more local news, and that's when local news really got going in the Sentinel. That's become our bread and butter now.
Right. And you think about the distribution, how that's changed. Talk about, too, how the printing has changed, because, again, you've gone through these eras of different ways you print, distribute. Touch upon that a little bit.
Well, the big revolution has been current from 1870 until about 2010, David. It was old paper on a press. The Pastoral Center in Northeast Portland had a press starting in about the 1960s, and then it moved over to OCP. But even early on, it was downtown, and guys actually probably just turning a big wheel to an old-fashioned press and distributing it. I don't know how it was delivered early on. We don't really know exactly how it got. I think they got mail an awful lot those days, so maybe the Pony Express delivered it. I'm not quite sure.
It could be, yeah.
But right now, we have been sending stacks to the backs of churches. We went from a mail-to-your-home model to sending stacks in the backs of churches.
Right.
And then, of course, the big revolution was the internet and social media, and that's we really started that maybe within the past decade.
Well, I think about that, too, and just newspapers across the country and how they've had to pivot and change over the course of time. And many papers have closed down across the country, not just Catholic newspapers, but secular papers as well have gone to online, digital. It's kind of the way things have gone.
It is the way things are going. I have a little theory that print may return. I think people are going to be overwhelmed by the internet, the big flood. It's like a fire hose of information. And to have someone curate the materials, choose what they think is important, and make it, put it in a beautiful package. You heard it here first. I think print might come back at some point.
There you go. I like that. We'll wait and see what the future holds. So once again, Sentinel going to be with us throughout the entire morning blend this morning. In our next interview segment, we're going to talk about some of the most memorable stories in the Sentinel. Really looking forward to that. So please stay with us. Well, all morning long, we are going to be talking about the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, 152 years of history, wrapping up with their final edition Today, we are joined in the studio by the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, Ed Longwa. We also have Patricia Montana. She's the El Sentinella editor. And Kristen Hannum, she is the news editor with the Sentinel newspaper. And Ed, we wanted to talk a little bit about memorable stories in this segment. And I know there's many, many of them, but I'm just thinking about really this last, maybe the last one you wrote in this last edition, talking about the passing of Father Vincent Cunniff. What a history.
One of our oldest priests just died a few days ago, David, a World War II veteran, a bombardier, one of the nicest guys you could ever imagine, ordained in 1953, a beloved pastor. You know, the priests themselves really love this guy because he was just so kind and supportive to them. So what a tribute to this fellow, one of our very best.
Yeah, you think about the Catholic Sentinel, 152-year history. Father Vincent, again, 102 years old at his passing, he has certainly seen many memorable stories in the Sentinel.
And he was someone we called. You know, when you first become a Sentinel reporter, your job is to call all the parishes and get the parish news. And I remember calling him in Florence, and I imagine Kristen had the same memory of getting his little news reports. I mean, this was a guy, once in Florence, a big gale started hitting and blowing shingles off the side of the church. And at age 75, he picked up a hammer and some nails and went out and started hammering the shingles back on.
Wow.
With the wind blowing his hair. He had a beautiful head of hair, and I can just imagine the wind blowing that curly white hair all over.
Oh, well, God rest his soul. What a history with Father Vincent Cunniff, again, passing away at the age of 102 a couple of days ago. Was he out in Beaverton at the home there in the Beaverton?
He lived at St. John Vianney until recent years and then moved to Maryville, the Sisters of St. Mary of Oregon Care Center, where he died.
Gotcha. Wonderful. Well, what else, Ed? You think about memorable stories, and again, in our 10-minute segment, we don't have a lot of time, but what jumps out to you?
I really enjoyed covering our beloved monasteries here. I remember a time going to the Trappist Abbey where they took me back behind the scenes, which you don't often get to see. You know what sticks in my memory, David? A great big bin, a laundry bin, where they just threw their undershirts and stuff. It was a shared laundry bin. And you might be wearing an undershirt that the last guy wore yesterday. It was just an amazing sense of the common life that these monks live, the simple rustic life that will always stick in my memory.
Yeah. How about you, Kristen? Again, you've been with the Sentinel for many years too. What stories stick out in your mind?
You know, David, I loved talking with people and then sharing those conversations with readers. And over the years, I met so many saintly people, and I think those stories were inspirational. The story I shared in the last issue was a father, Holy Cross Father Dick Berg, leading a prayer service for people with developmental disabilities, and he started saying, "Thank you, God, for the bread." And somebody calls out from the back of the room, "And fishes!"
Yeah, that's great.
It was marvelous.
Well, yeah, too, and kind of like what Ed said, too, you probably had an opportunity to see so much of the Archdiocese of Portland and around the Western Oregon. And did you travel much in doing that?
We did sometimes travel. Yeah. Ed has a great story where he traveled to Eastern Oregon. I once got a speeding ticket traveling to Eastern Oregon. We covered the Baker Diocese in those days. And usually we did it by phone. We were always very money conscious. I remember calling a parish in the Baker Diocese, and the secretary told me, "You know, we just don't have very much news right now. We had that windstorm; it blew the roof off, and we haven't had time." And I said, "Wait a minute, that's news."
Yeah, that's a story. that's wonderful. And for you, Patricia, how about yourself being with El Sentinella newspaper? What sort of stories stay in your mind when you think about it?
I think the one that was very important for me at the beginning when I started, well, not really, it was just 1 year after I started working with Sentinella, but it was a story about a family, a couple that I wanted to have their son to receive sacraments. And then, like many families, they are busy and, you know, providing for food and everything. And it was, and they, especially his father, he was not going to church. So when they took their son for classes, they decided to stay and listen, and also the all the preparation, the classes, and that was so important that he started reflecting on his behavior and his relationship with his son, and it was transformative. It was so powerful. Later on, they got married.
Yeah.
They prepared to receive, you know, to get married and do everything according to the church. And today they are minister of hospitality.
Oh.
In St. Matthew Church in Hillsboro. So that was a really nice story.
Yeah, that's a wonderful.
That I always remember.
Ed, I would just hearing those stories, and you recognize by giving them a voice, by telling their story, you don't always know the ripple effect, so to speak, that one story can have. But you're really part of, you and all of your staff, not only a part of telling the story, but conversion of souls. I mean, that's a powerful thing, and that's a wonderful position to be in, that role as a reporter. You think that your job is just to tell stories, but you're transforming lives.
You're right. We hope that happens. I do often think of myself more as a cabinet maker than a minister. You know, I'm putting words and paragraphs together. But you're right. Once we build the cabinet, build the story, then God does things with it that we don't possibly know. I think of Kristen was mentioning my trip to Eastern Oregon. There was a guy who was the 90-year-old altar boy. He was kind of the village idiot, had been taken advantage of. But slowly we told his story. And once people read his story and learned about it, we feel like he got more respect, and they invited him to be the Grand Marshal of the July 4th parade that year.
Wow.
Transformed his life. His name was Bill Greiner.
Oh, love it.
That's fantastic. One of the things I was reading, too, in the last edition that's coming out today, Ed, and that's talking about while your news coverage, you know, stretched across the ocean, talk about the Vatican, what's happening with the different popes throughout the years, but at the same time, too, you're also reporting about that little bazaar happening at the church on Saturday.
We really had a commitment to still be like the small town paper for Catholics. And especially Kristen will talk about how the parish is the very heart of the church. And we really tried to keep paying attention to them. Sometimes we failed, sometimes we succeeded. One of Kristen's, Josh, she was the pioneer of calling the parishes and doing big stories about them and their church suppers and their bazaars. I mean, that's where life really happens in the parish and the families, too. One of my most memorable stories was when the Wade family of St. Agatha Parish, I wanted to write a story about how a family prays together, and they just let me observe their prayer in their living room, little kids getting on their knees and praying the rosary, and a baby toddling around knocking drinks off the table while everyone else tried to pray. You know, it is little things like that,
yeah.
David, that our world is made up of and our faith.
Oh, no, that's so true. And you think about that and all of the parish activities and events. And Kristen, do you know how many church bazaars and events you went to over the course of the years?
That would be hard to count.
Yeah.
Luckily, David, I have a really bad memory, so it was always fresh.
that's great. Well, that's wonderful. Again, we're talking about the Catholic Sentinel. They are wrapping up 152 years of history with their final edition out today. Of course, online, too, at catholicsentinel.org. You can see it. And they're going to be with us the rest of the morning. Coming up in our next interview segment, we're going to talk about some response from the readers. Looking forward to that, so stay with us. Well, this morning we are celebrating the 152-year legacy of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper. We are grateful to be joined in studio this morning by the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel, Ed Longwa, along with some of his staff, Kristen Hannum. She is the news editor at the Sentinel, as well as Patricia Montana. She is the editor of El Sentinela newspaper. And Ed, we wanted to touch a little bit in this segment about response from readers. And one of the things I wanted to mention, and you can touch upon this, is that you always continue to do letters to the editor. And not a lot of Catholic newspapers went down that road, but you made a commitment to do that.
We did. Our former editor, Robert Foeman, started Letters to the Editor in the 1980s, and it wasn't common then. And David, it could be a mess. It could be a little crazy.
Sure.
Well, but yeah. We had a commitment to try and print every letter we possibly could. And with this era of synodality that Pope Francis has begun, I think it was in keeping with that, to at least listen to each other. We didn't always agree with people, but we could listen to each other, and there are a lot of smart people out there, so that's why we kept those letters to the editor.
Well, you know, and going back in old school journalism, and not just with Catholic newspapers, but newspapers in general, letters to the editor, you had to put your name on it. And in this day and age, a lot of people say a lot of things and they don't put their name on it. And so I always appreciated the letters to the editor for that reason.
That is the problem with social media. There's really not a lot of accountability, and we always did make people sign their names and give us their address, so we made sure they were the real McCoy.
Absolutely. And yeah, again, you may not agree with everybody. At least you gave folks that ability to put their opinion out there, and always appreciate that. But when you talk about response from the readers, I know in your last edition here coming out today, you have a lot of comments from folks giving credit to the Sentinel, going to miss the Sentinel. Talk a little bit about that.
One of the first themes that emerged, David, was what we just spoke about. People really appreciated that we allowed them a voice to comment on things, to ponder things. That's one of the first things we heard. The second was hearing from older people who may not be so keen on computers. The third group we heard from were those in small towns. The Sentinel for them was a connective tissue that bound them to the rest of the local church. And I think their hearts are breaking that they won't have that. We're all hopeful that something will come to replace it. But right now, there's a lot of sadness from those three groups. Older people in particular, I think, David, is where my heart is heaviest.
Yeah. Kristen, when you see some of those letters that come in this last edition, I mean, what stands out to you as far as what do you think readers will miss the most?
Well, not just letters, but calls.
Yeah.
From people saying, "Is this true?"
Yeah.
I think that Catholics recognize that there's holiness in everyone, and that we don't only that Jesus doesn't only work through the hierarchy or. In his words, don't even come through only through homilies. That you know, actually, the majority of Catholics are lay people, and the lay people are just as saintly,
and right.
I think they're going to miss the voices, just like Ed said. Mm.
Patricia, you know, in our off segment here, when we were getting ready to come back on, I shared with you that my own grandparents came to the United States from Mexico, and they moved into a very small Spanish-speaking community, and that became like their community, their people who they spoke to. For immigrants, especially our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, having access to technology can be limited, and they maybe didn't grow up having that necessarily. So their ability to go online very easily is more difficult. And to have El Centinela as that print resource that was so easy to be able to grab and take with them and learn and know about what's happening, help get them connected to the community, I would imagine this is leaving a huge vacuum for those communities.
Yes, you are right, Brenda, because that's the constant message that I have been receiving. The only way that they have to communicate in their own language with another parishes, even though they don't know each other, but they felt that they belong to that community, that they, you know, see people like themselves. Mm-hmm. And all the voices from advocating for this essential people, essential in our society, that they were called that way during the pandemic, and still they're essential, but they're not essential for communication. And that's the reality for many of our parishioners. I had a special letter from Southern Oregon, three churches there, and they sent a letter saying it was, thank you to Patricia, and they mentioned in the letter, thank you to you, Patricia, because you came to our community to get to know our needs. And then we felt it was so powerful because we felt that we belong to the archdiocese because we never heard anything in our language. So that, you know, things like that, and it's very sad.
That sense of belonging, that's what the Catholic Sentinel has been, and El Sentinella for so many people. It's just that thing that brought us all together.
No doubt about it. And Ed, as well, the listener response, or the reader response, I should say, you continued to do editorials as well. And Kristen, I know you had some in there too. And so talk about your views on the editorials, because I know they can be, again, you can draw some criticism for whatever you do, but you still did it.
Well, we always wanted to be faithful to the church, first of all, and show that we loved the church. But sometimes we would want to point out things that we thought maybe people were missing, parts of church teaching that were getting underemphasized. You know, David, if there were people who said, you Sentinel people are too political, usually what it meant was that we were emphasizing a part of church teaching that particular person found it hard to swallow.
Right.
And so I think our editorials did that to a large extent.
At the same time, too, and I touched upon this in our opening segment, too, oftentimes, oh, you brought some lightness, some lightheartedness to it. And I always appreciated that because there was some humor there, too, which I thought with our faith brought joy as well.
I think that was something we all wanted to bring. And we actually had at the Catholic Media Conference this year, a whole conference on bringing lightness to your papers. One day when the pandemic came, I just had this vision of, wow, empty churches. I wonder what the church mice are going to do now.
That's right.
And that turned into one of my favorite editorials ever, what was the perspective of a church mouse and hoping we would all come back and drop crumbs for them again.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Yeah. Again, just the editorials, the reader letters. Did you see comments change over the course of time? Or was it always just kind of the same across the board?
Pretty consistent, David. Looking back at archives in the late 1960s when things were very charged, it was similar. People from different perspectives of the church were arguing with each other then,
sure,
too. So things changed. The worst time, in my view, for letters is when elections come along. That's
always
a very volatile moment.
Sure. You always have to kind of run that fine line right there, because that's kind of a no-win situation.
Right. We tried not to get in. We certainly don't want to be partisan, but we did want to allow people to comment on faith and morals, because political life touches on those at times.
Absolutely. 152 years of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper. We have one more segment coming up in the Morning Blend with the Sentinel. That's going to be at about 8:40, so stay with us, and we're going to talk about what's next for local Catholic news. Coming up. Well, all morning long, we have been celebrating the Catholic Sentinel newspaper. Their last edition goes out today after 152 years, a legacy of Catholic reporting here in the Archdiocese of Portland. Joining us in studio is the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, Ed Longwa, along with news editor Kristen Hannum and the El Sentinella editor, Patricia Montana. So really appreciate all of you coming in this morning and doing this. I know you were up early to do it. And Ed, I want to thank you all for not eating all of the apple strudel that was in there. I see there's plenty left, so I know what I'm doing.
Just getting warmed up, though,
okay,
David.
Okay, there you go. Well, this last segment, we wanted to kind of talk about what's next for local Catholic news and see where the future's going to lead us. But before we do, Brenda and I were talking about this, and we were talking about some of the stories over the course of the years. And I did want to mention this one because it was such great reporting, Ed, and that was on the wildfires a couple of years ago. Talk about that, because, again, your coverage of this was outstanding.
I'm going to look at my friend Patricia Montana. She and I took a trip to Southern Oregon in 2020 after the devastating Alameda fire, which roared up from Ashland towards Medford. And really, she helped lead me through this. She has a big heart for people and compassion. And long after I was tired and wanted to stop doing interviews, she was there.
Yeah.
So, David, walking into this trailer park in the town of trailer park's not the right word. It was a community.
Yeah.
It looked like a nuclear bomb had gone off. Gray ash and foundation was all that was left. with me. Once we found a little statue of Mary standing there, really devastating. And then once in a parking lot of a Mexican restaurant, Patricia interviewed the owner of the restaurant who had opened up his property as a relief center, really, with clothing and food and water for people, a vital lifeline. And he did this just out of the goodness of his heart. Thank you for mentioning that. I'm glad you did. That was probably one of our finest hours when we took that trip down there.
Yeah, I suppose, Patricia, you remember that quite a bit, just being able to go down there.
Yes, it was, as Ed mentioned, devastating. It was heartbroken to see the families and, you know, that lost everything. But thanks God, they were alive and with a lot of hope. And yeah, the solidarity that we saw, that was inspiring too, because help came from all over the place, even from the other coast, from many places. So that was still, people are receiving help, and the situation has not changed a lot. Still people suffering, but I think God is good, and we are hopeful that they will recover from that and something better will come.
Absolutely. Kristen, do you still want to continue in the news business? I mean, even though the Sentinel is wrapping up with its final edition, do you still see yourself reporting and doing some things of that nature?
You know, Dave, I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing, but I will say that one of my most memorable times with the Sentinel was after 9/11. And it's not just events that happen here that the Sentinel covers, the Catholic local point of view. After 9/11, we stopped the presses and covered the vigils, in the churches, interviewed a Muslim professor at UP who decried the terrorism. And I remember hearing people saying, well, you know, have the Muslims come out against it? Well, yes, they did.
Yeah.
And we covered that. And I'm very worried about what's going to happen to the local Catholic coverage that is the first draft of history and binds people together. I expect I'll probably go back to freelancing,
right,
working for magazines.
Sure. Wonderful. And Ed, when you look at the future of Catholic news, and again, you being a big part of this for so many years, three decades and more, what do you see happening in the future? I mean, you gave us a little look into the crystal ball, thinking that you might see print come back a little stronger, but what's your sense?
I think that there'll be maybe three different prongs where we'll see some local Catholic news. I know the Archdiocese does not want local Catholic news to die. And I've talked to people there who are getting a plan together and gathering, and we'll consult with them and help with them. And the second prong, I think, is right here where we're standing. You guys pay attention to local Catholic news,
right,
and have been doing so for a long time, covering events, talking to people from parishes. Everything that you and Brenda have been doing on this morning show, I think, will help carry the load. And then I think there's all kinds of other writers out there who are dreaming about blogging, perhaps having their own local Catholic news website. We've heard from other people who maybe want to do something independently. So I think local Catholic news will stay alive. I guess I'm biased. I think it'll be hard to do as well as the Sentinel did, just because of our backing from Oregon Catholic Press.
Right.
But it won't die. I just want to, you know, say to our readers and listeners that, well, I think the duty is now in your hands to tell the stories. Be storytellers. That's a vital, vital role.
Ed, for 150 years, this paper has been produced. That's a lot of stories. There's a lot of history there. The archive of Catholic Sentinel now, what happens to that? Who's going to be able to have access to be able to go back and know on this date, 100 years ago, this is what was on the Catholic Sentinel?
Thank goodness in the past decade, we scanned every page of every Catholic Sentinel and El Sentinela. I think we have some El Sentinelas we still need to do from the early days. but they're all digital and online. It's a website I can't call to mind right now. We need to find a better name for the website. We're hoping and we're almost certain there will be a link on the Archdiocese of Portland website where you can click and then you can type in any search term you want, and all the Catholic Sentinel and El Sentinella articles that refer to that word will pop up and you can read it. I also hope that that website exists at Oregon Catholic Press. And if technology changes and all that goes away, we still have some bound volumes, and we're hoping to find a home for that in some caring archive.
That's good to know. So we're going to wrap up this segment. Now, we don't want you guys leaving because we're going to bring you back right at the end of the show here. But for this interview segment, just some final parting words. Kristen, we'll start with you.
How's that? You caught me unawares. My final parting words is that this is so sad, and it feels like a ministry that could have lasted longer. I'm heartbroken that the Sentinel is closing.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Patricia?
I will repeat the same words I say at the beginning. There is a lot of sadness, but also at the same time, I feel hope. I think I am a strong believer, and I think God has something better for all of us. Mm. So something, I hope that something good, better will come.
Beautiful.
Hopefully.
Absolutely. And Ed?
Well, there was an organization 2,000 years ago that started with word of mouth and spread and did pretty well.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to appeal to people to keep telling stories person to person and household to household to keep the story of the local church alive.
Excellent. Again, stick around because we're going to take a break here, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the Morning Blend on this hour as we have had a wonderful time celebrating the Catholic Sentinel newspaper. It is David and Brenda with you on the Morning Blend this Friday morning as we wrap it up, as we have celebrated and honored the 152 years of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, El Sentinela newspaper. Folks from the Sentinel here with us this morning, led by the managing editor, Ed Longwa. Ed, again, so appreciate all the work you have done over the years. If people want to see that final edition, how do they do so?
Well, go to CatholicSentinel.org, and you'll see it there, or My Sentinel Now, and you'll get a nice flipbook version, or go to Mass.
Yeah.
And pick it up in the back.
Also, I wanted to mention, too, Godspeed. That was the banner headline you had.
That's right. That's an old wish of energy on a traveler, and
there
we wanted
go.
To wish our lay storytellers good energy.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up this way for all of you, and this is for the Sentinel.
So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time.